What is up, everyone, and welcome back to the Brittany the Host podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Daniel, and I think this is going to be a very insightful, enlightening podcast for a few reasons. So, one, it's fall, and fall is a new season, right? But what I like to remind myself is not only do the seasons change, but seasons and chapters change in our lives, sometimes frequently, sometimes sporadically, sometimes we have longer seasons in our lives than others. But nonetheless, fall is here. And what fall represents for me personally, and maybe this will resonate with some of you, are it's time for change, right? Leaves change colors, they drop off in the winter, and then a whole new springtime happens where new leaves blossom in the summer, they're in full bloom. And I kind of like to look at life like that, or feel, I guess, the vibes of the world, the universe, God, or whatever you're personally going through. And for me personally, I'll just open up really quick. I have been in a very weird place. I know I shared a little bit on my podcast. There's a lot behind the scenes that I haven't shared. For whatever reason, I guess I'm moving into a chapter in my life to where I'm becoming a lot more private than I used to be. And I no longer am served or feel service of sharing everything. Because I used to tell you guys everything, especially if you've been here from like the beginning of my podcast. Just starting earlier this year, I had a very different energy. And now I have more of a hermit energy. I'm more inward. I've been really sitting with myself, asking myself really deep questions, overcoming a lot of mental blocks and things that I've been dealing with. And I'll mention a few things that we can do, or you can do practically in your life if you're feeling stuck or if you're feeling like something else needs to happen for you. But I definitely have been going through that. And with fall being a new season, and we just had a new moon in Virgo, which was a very strong moon for me because I'm a Virgo as well. If you guys know about moon phases and all of that, I think I mentioned in my last podcast, new moons are for writing what you want and trying to manifest. And the last podcast, I spoke heavily on manifesting and manifesting the right way, and not in a woo-woo magical kind of way, but in a very practical, analytical way. So if that's something that you're into, I definitely would check out the last and previous podcast about manifesting. But I really want to talk about rewriting our stories and rewriting our lives. I'm in a space where I have turned 32, and when I was around 28, I knew 32 was going to be a very important year for me. I didn't know why. I really thought by now things would look a lot different. I'm sure if you guys are in your 30s, maybe you feel the same way. I thought by 30, I would have certain things figured out. I'd be in a home, I'd be married, I'd have children, all of these things. But for whatever reason, I knew 32 was going to be very special for me. But what really has been going on since about 30 till now is I've been really trying to figure out who I am and what I want. But the difference between when I hit 30 and right now is that at 30, I was still very influenced by a lot of the world, you know, I guess you can say, with social media, YouTube, what other people were doing, what other people were attracting. And if you're in a phase where you're really trying to get deep with yourself, or you're really trying to figure out what's next for you or what you want, the biggest thing that I can recommend is stop watching other people. And social media, especially Instagram, is the number one thing. And I don't watch vlogs as much anymore on YouTube either, because I didn't notice it, but subconsciously what other people were getting and doing and wanting started infiltrating my real wants and needs. I started, that person went there, so I was kind of influenced to do that, or that person has this. Ooh, I might want that too. That looks nice. And it wasn't in a copycat way, or it wasn't in an unsincere way. I just was influenced by what others were doing. So this chapter 32 in my life has been a very shut out the outside world, especially as of recently. Something happened to me on my 32nd birthday, y'all. I don't know what it was. And if 30 didn't do it for y'all, maybe 32 will do it for you if you guys are in your 30s. But 32 made me want to close everybody else's book and open my own up. I was listening to Anaya Ivey's podcast, and she said something very powerful. She said, I don't need to read self-help books. I need to read my own book. Mending, you know, your own wounds and your own hurts of your past and rewriting the story. There are certain stories that we hold on to and certain, pains and past traumas that we hold on to that hinder us from growing and reaching our fullest potential. And it can be things that are polar opposite of one another that can hinder you from your higher self or your spiritual being. So I talked a lot about manifesting on my last podcast. And if you're in the midst of trying to manifest something and you just feel like it's not coming, definitely look inward. I know for me, I am a Virgo. I am a perfectionist. When I want something, I want it, and I want it the exact way I want it. And what I'm learning is that I have to let go of the outcome or how it's going to manifest itself. I have to pray about it, write it out, tell God what I want, put it on my menu, and just let it be. And be open to other options and other opportunities of how that's going to present itself. And in the meantime, work on what I need to work on internally in order to get those things. So for instance, I'm at a point where I want to transition my career 100% within the next year, right? If you guys don't know, I'm a military officer. I have been for 11 years. It'll be 12 years in March. And I'm at a space where I think that I am coming to a complete and utter end with what I want. However, I'm not there yet. And that's another thing that I wanted to speak about. It's okay to not be there yet. You know, I know that we hear, you know, don't wait until you're 100% ready, but you can plan, you can prepare, you can set things up to where when you do take a leap of faith or when you do transition or where you do something that it's a little bit more calculated. It's not as you jump and then you're just trying to figure stuff out. You can have a plan and you can have things figured out before you take a leap of faith. And I used to think that I had to just do something that was extra scary and not have a plan and just wing it in order to be successful. And that's not true, because if you're not mentally strong enough to handle the ups and downs, the financial instability of things, the emotional roller coaster, like I'm very emotional and I know that about myself. And that's why it's very important to work on yourself and know who you are as a person to know what you can handle and can't handle. I'm a very emotional person and I need certain things of stability in order for me to operate efficiently and effectively towards what I want. So you have to know what type of person you are. And it's okay to put certain things into place, and it's okay to say it's not my time yet. Maybe in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 3 years, whatever, my kids get to a certain stage, whatever it is okay to have a plan. You know, some people take a leap and they just wing it and they go the homeless route and they do, that's great for their story. That might not be your story, and that's okay. I want to give anybody permission out there who's like thinking that they have to jump and make a decision right now. It's okay to tell yourself you're not ready just yet. Pray about it, and I truly believe God will tell you when it's time to jump, or he'll make it uncomfortable for you so you need to move around or move on, or he'll set it up to where you'll know, okay, it's time. So in order to rewrite your story, or in order to figure out how to do that, we definitely have to take a look at the things that we're telling ourselves or the story that's already written that is no longer serving us. And I'll give you guys an example. Growing up, I did not have the best relationship with my father. He was MIA, and we did not have the best relationship growing up. And the story I used to tell myself a lot, and to include it until just recently, was that he wasn't there. He left me, and all these things. So going through this and working through these daddy issues that I had, that I thought I was over. And that's funny, because you can work on yourself and think you're over something, And then they pop up and they're like, ooh, we still got some roots down here that you got to dig up. So I had told myself I forgave my father. And I told myself that I forgave the situation, but I still held on to some resentment. And that's how you know if you're truly over something. You have to let go of the resentment. But anywho, so I didn't have the best relationship with my father. And what ended up me vocalizing that I had abandonment issues, which were very true. I had abandonment issues. So I would end relationships before somebody else could until like about, I want to say 2 years ago. I would go into relationships being able to control them so I could see what was coming. It's kind of like when I was watching 42 last night, so I'm going to use a baseball reference, but it's like when you're at the bat, when you're at home plate and the pitcher pitches a ball, you can see how the ball is going to come. You can see if it's going to be a curveball, a fastball, so you know how to hit the ball. That's how kind of I used to play my relationships in the past was I used to do certain things so I can control the outcome. I needed to have control over my relationships so I knew how things would work out, which were a part of my abandonment issues. And it's one thing to recognize your issue, right? And to say, okay, this is where certain things stem from. But it's a whole nother thing to allow that to be your story. Like once you recognize it, it doesn't have to continue to be your story. It's like, okay, cool. So what I ended up doing is saying, oh, I have abandonment issues, right? And allowing that to be the story and kind of blaming people in my life for doing what served them best. Like if I had a relationship and it ended, I would say you left me instead of understanding that maybe that person just knew that the relationship did not serve them. So they decided to move on. You know, for whatever reason, society just makes you feel bad if you don't stick it out through every and utter, like you don't have to be in a horrible relationship to leave. If the relationship no longer serves you, and it could be as simple as we just don't see eye to eye on finances. We don't see eye to eye on how we love each other. We don't see eye to eye on how we want to raise our children. It does not have to be he cheated on me or she's a piece of shit in order to leave a relationship. Like if it's not serving, if the puzzle piece just isn't fitting, it is okay to just say this relationship no longer serves me in that way and move on. But going back to my example of the abandonment issue thing, that became my story. And so what I had to do was rewrite that story. And how I did that was I wrote a letter to my dad. And I wrote out everything that bothered me about our relationship. And a lot of times what holds us back from having certain relationships or maybe allowing or letting go of hurt and pain are the expectations of what we've always wanted, right? So for me, there was a part of me that always wanted a great relationship with my father. And subconsciously, I didn't know it at the time, I really compared him to the other fathers that I was exposed to growing up. Like I had, shout out to Mr. Willie and Mr. Neil, Kamina and Erica's father. When I was growing up, I had two best friends in California, Erica and Kamina. Shout out to y'all. Them still my girls. And their dads were just amazing. And they were just present. They were there. They, you know, lived with their fathers. So they weren't perfect men, but they were amazing to me because I had no father. And so I saw the relationship that they had with their daughters. Like they would take us to the mall. They would take us shopping. They'd take us on road trips. Like they were amazing, outstanding black men, period, right? And so I never got that with my dad. I never got that connection or that whatever standard I had in my mind of who he should be, he never met, ever. And I resented him for that. And it took me really working through those issues and writing out that letter and letting all of it out. And even not to him, he still, unless he listens to this, he has no idea why I feel or how I feel, whatever. And that's not the point. He doesn't need to know because of that. And that's another thing that I want anybody out there to have that has parent issues, whether with their mother or their father, just because you vocalize it to them does not mean that they're going to understand you. And you have to accept that. And even if they do, they could say sorry, which may or may not erase your pain, or they will blame another situation or maybe not. But one thing that I had to realize, and what kind of the light bulb went out as I was writing this letter of disappointment to my father, was that he had his own perspective of life at that time. He had his own issues and situations, and he was going about life whatever way fit him at that moment, good or bad. And once that light bulb kind of went off, it allowed me to take him off that pedestal and humanize him a little bit. Now, were the decisions that he made the best? In my mind, no, you know, but maybe that was all he knew at the time. And so it doesn't dismiss my feelings, but then it takes the cape off. It takes the Superman out and just say he was just a man that made a lot of decisions I felt were bad. And I'm not God, so I can't say what was good or bad, but what I felt weren't the best. However, those were what he made. And as I was writing this letter, there were a lot of things that I did not like about him that I possessed, which was, oh, that shit hurts. If you guys ever have done anything, you're like, damn, I'm just like my parents. Or, ooh, I'm just like my mama. Like, I'm starting to decorate my house, y'all. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm turning into Tony. Oh my Jesus, I'm turning into my mother. You know, if there are certain ways you talk to your children or your pets or whatever, you'll just start noticing that you're becoming a lot like your parents. And it's inevitable because you are them. They made you, right? Which if you could, some of us, if we could change our parents, we probably would. But there is a theory that we pick our parents in the spiritual realm. So we kind of know what we're getting ourselves into consciously and on a spiritual level, and they're needed for our journeys. But once we're born and we're in the world, we lose sight of that, and we forget that as the process of life goes on. So that's a crazy theory. It's like, I pick these people, right? But getting back to this letter. So once I wrote the letter out, I felt a lot better. And I took it I won't say where I burned it because y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but I ended up burning the letter, and I lit some Palo Santo, and I just released all of the resentment that I had, and I released and I forgave all the situations, and I forgave myself for putting these unrealistic expectations upon a human man that could never meet those expectations. And I had to let that shit go. And if my father is listening to this, he's probably like, I told you to let that stuff go. I didn't let it go for you, sir. I let it go for myself. And I didn't let it go in the way that you wanted me to let it go. Because one thing that used to bother me about my father was he would always say, let it go. And I get what he meant. I get that he wanted me to let go because he knew the pain and the stuff that I was holding on to was not going to serve me. And it wasn't. But I really despise the way he did it, because instead of what I felt that he should have done better, and I'm just going to be open and honest with you guys, I felt that he should have allowed me to vocalize all of my feelings without placing blame, without making an excuse, without deflecting. He should have sat with that shit and let that pierce his soul. And then said he was sorry. That would be the most perfect outcome for me. However, I have to accept the fact that that may never happen. And I have to be okay with that. Because our parents are human beings having a human experience. And they see their lives through their lenses. So I have to forgive myself for having unrealistic expectations. But going back to the letter, once I burned it, because I didn't mail it to him, didn't speak to him about it. You know, he knows I love him. I love him because God commands us to. But you can love your parents and not like them as people, or not like or agree with the decisions that they made. But at the end of the day, we have to try not to judge us, because God commands us not to. You feel me? And we just have to for ourselves. But within that, rewriting that letter, I let go of the story I was telling myself about having abandonment issues. I'm not abandoned. I'm good. God has had me from the moment I was born, and times where I was by myself, times where I didn't know. God has had me every step of the way, y'all. I put myself in some crazy ass predicaments and probably positions and places that I probably should have became a dead seriously. He's always kept me, so I never was abandoned. And so I had to let that go and have that realization with myself, because whatever, it doesn't matter if it's true or false, whatever story you drag with you consciously and subconsciously is going to show up every single time. And you're going to use those feelings to mold your life and your relationships and your career and everything. Another realization that I had is I wanted to know why I could never put my all into something. And I kind of had this realization a little while ago, was because when I was forced to, with the military especially, the reward was never good for me. Like, okay, I was done. Like, that's the thing, is like, it was never. Let me give you, I'm laughing because this shit is so true. And this is just as much as therapy for me as it is for you guys. I hope this is resonating. I hope you guys are with me. I hope you guys are learning something through these stories. But my military career and the things that when I think about and the stuff that I went through to get here is crazy. Like, we did crazy shit. And it was never anything like torturous or anything out of a movie, or like, I pray for Paris Hilton, because the shit that she went through in those camps, if you guys haven't seen the Paris Hilton documentary on YouTube, I highly recommend, go watch that. It really showed me that you cannot judge a book by its cover. We didn't go through none of that. I was never physically abused. We went through mental reconstruction, and it meant a little bit of, some people call it brainwashing. We were definitely mentally programmed to think a certain way, which more so I think served me more than hindered me. However, there are aspects of me where I feel like I don't remember who I was before, and I'm thinking I'm getting back to that person a little bit, but it definitely gave me better tools than it broke me, I guess you can say. It was nothing like a torture camp, but the things that we went through and the things that we did and the obstacles and stages that I had to overcome, I never felt like the reward was good. Like, I can relate it to picking the wrong career in school, or the wrong major in college, right? Or the wrong curriculum in school. Say you sign up for law school, and law school is 3 long ass years, and you make it by the hair on your chinny chin chin, because you done worked your ass off, you done studied your ass off, and you graduate, but you don't want to be a lawyer. So the entire time you're a lawyer, you're doing other shit to figure out what you want to do, because you spent 3 years trying to become a lawyer, and you hate being a lawyer. You rather do damn near anything else if it paid you enough. You know, if it paid you the same as being a lawyer, you know, you would do it. But you passed the bar, you passed all your classes, you did all that, but the reward was never sweet, because it was never nothing that you truly wanted. I feel like for me, that was the military. I've passed so many courses. I went through physically and mentally so many obstacles when it came to physical obstacle courses, came to classes, and I've had rigorous courses, like physical courses where you had to write and know and learn things and memorize things and learn all these things that once I was done, and once you get the pat on the back and the reward, I felt proud maybe one time out of my whole military career, once. All the other times, I just felt relieved that the shit was over. That's not how we're supposed to live life, y'all. And I feel like that's a big reason why I've never fully given myself to any other aspect in my life, because I always felt like, what's the point of giving your all when the reward isn't fucking great anyway, so who gives a shit? You know, that's kind of how I moved through. And I'm learning that was the biggest reason why, is because I've never had anything career-wise that I've strived for that gave me the satisfaction that it was worth going through all of that. So if that's something that you're dealing with, definitely like dig deep. Or if you're going through any other sort of career, relationship, mental, spiritual blocks, figure out what those roots are. Figure out your emotions, right? Figure out what those emotions are. And start asking yourself the hard questions. And you have to be real with yourself. It definitely helps if you journal. It definitely helps if you write down certain questions. It definitely helps if you really sit with it. If you can be by yourself. I know some of you guys have kids, so it's probably hard as hell to be by yourself. But when you do have that alone time, I definitely recommend cutting off distractions, watching other people's lives, watching people on Instagram. And I'm not saying you have to cut off social media a million percent, but do about 80 to 75 to 90% of cutting off social media and really sitting there and figuring out what are the stories you're telling yourself that no longer serve you, and rewrite those stories. Rewrite those stories. Rewrite those narratives and those things that you're telling yourself. Figure out what those are and unpack those and rewrite them. So now that I'm in a space where I don't have that baggage of what I felt my father did to me anymore, and the career baggage I'm working out, I'm being able to rewrite my story. Like, okay, what is it that you really want? What careers really fulfill you? And I take quizzes to figure that out. Sometimes it's good to answer those, like when you Google passion quizzes or purpose quizzes or how your mind works. If you're into astrology, really digging into your birth chart and understanding aspects of you that I personally feel are bigger than you because you did not make you. You know, you have parents, but what are those conscious, subconscious, and then spiritual / universal things about yourself that are super important? And if you're not into astrology, I get it, but I think you're missing out on some really good tools that can help you. But teach your own. I'm not telling you what to do with your spiritual side or your philosophical side, but a lot of those things have been proven to be true. I'm not talking about horoscopes. Horoscopes, I'm not a big fan of because they're hella fucking broad and it could be anybody, but definitely astrology is something that I definitely resonate with, and it's helped me. And I'm super spiritual as well. I'm into the Christian faith as well, because I feel like there's a lot of jewels and gems in that. But for me, Christianity helps me to know how I'm supposed to live, and who I am is more of a spiritual, soulful, universal thing, right? The Bible for me is how to live life, how to treat people, how to work, how to love, how to not be a shitty person, how to get good karma in your life. But the Bible for me does not explain. It explains where we come from, but it doesn't explain who I am. And I feel like spirituality for me, and maybe for you, will dig deeper into who you are and what works for you and what helps you live the best story of your life, and help you rewrite stories in any way that you can. So now when we get to the point where we rewrite our stories, it's really digging into who we are. You know, what do we truly want? When we say we truly want, it goes deeper than the BMW or the nice house or the Mercedes or the Louis Vuitton bag. Those are great material things to want. But what truly makes you happy? For me, it's Bath and Body Works candles and a nice smelling home that goes with the seasons, a nice cup a bowl of butternut squash soup when it's cold, and watching Flip Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines, and Pinteresting beautiful fall home decor of modern French country. That's the things that make me happy. Those are the essence and the core of who I am and what the things that I'm into. And when you find out what you're into and you nurture those little talents outside of work, they fill you up so that you can do your work and your career the best way. Money is very important, and I will never tell you not to think about your money. Money is money and honey, okay? But outside of making money, What fills you up? It's hard to make money when you're running on E. It's hard to make money and be satisfied with life if you're not doing the little things that bring you joy. Like, I made pumpkin bread for the first time, and I went to Target and I got all these little things because I used to love to bake. And I don't know what happened. I think my job or my career, because I used to bake years. I haven't baked anything in a very long time. Not a cake, not a cupcake. And I used to love making cupcakes. I used to make cupcakes for my office when I first went on active duty all the time. And then it just stopped. I have no idea what happened. So the first time in years, I didn't even have a mixer. I went to Target and bought a mixer, bought some cake mix and some icing. I used to be in food production and management in high school, and plating and cake decorating were some of my favorite things to do. And is it my number one hobby of all time that I could do for hours and hours and hours and hours? No, but making that pumpkin bread brought me a little piece of satisfaction in heaven here on this earth. And when you put those little pieces and slices of heaven on this earth, and they make up a section of your life that fills you up, so then you can thrive in all the other areas. You can thrive at being a great mother. You can thrive at being a great father. You can thrive at your job. You can thrive in your home. You can thrive in your love life because you've done the little things that fill you up. So that's, for me, a big part of rewriting my story. Letting go of what I thought I should want, or because other people wanted those things and were very, inspired and influenced by others. And it's no fault to theirs. They're just doing what they feel that they should do. And it's been a very beautiful journey. It's very hard. It's a lot of deep internal work, but it's a lot of aha moments. It's a lot of, oh, that's dope. And not always listening to how that's supposed to happen for other people. This is never a step 1, 2, 3, do this. This podcast is really about planting the seeds so you can figure out how your garden of your life grows and works best for you. I never tell anybody my way is the best way. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. I just share tools and things that have helped me. So there is no one size fits all with life. There's no one size fits all with relationships, money, nothing, nothing. So what works best for you? What things do you write for your life, or the stories that you can rewrite for yourself, which work best for you? So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I hope you guys got some insight on rewriting your story, all the personal work and behind the scenes work I've been doing on myself. And I hope you find what lights you up. And when you let go of the stories that do not serve your greatest purpose and that are blocking you from getting the things that you truly want and desire for yourself, or you're trying to figure that out, the moment you do that work, things will come to you. It's like reorganizing your closet, right? And those stories are a whole bunch of junk and a whole bunch of stuff that's in the way from you decluttering that space, opening some space, you can get some new stuff. Don't you want some new stuff? And that new stuff is everything that you're trying to manifest, everything that the universe is trying to pour into you. But it can't pour into it or put new things in that closet if it's junky, messy, unorganized. So that's what rewriting your story is about. It's unpacking those emotional baggage, those things that no longer serve you, and making space and making room for what does. And I pray that it opens up. I hope that you guys do the work. You deserve it. You owe it to yourself. And I pray that you got something out of this podcast. I love you guys so much. Peace and blessings. And I'll catch you guys in my next one. Peace.